Well, we approach Christmas, and we've got all sorts of things that occupy our mind, of course. And as I thought about coming this morning and really thought about this time of year and what it represents and the things that we have to get our mind wrapped around, sometimes we can really get our focus in the wrong direction. Sometimes we can find ourselves wrapped up in things and we miss everything that we really need to be looking at. And every now and then there's an individual that'll bring us back to a place that gets our thinking back on track. That video did it for me this morning. That video that showed individuals going to different parts of the world that are excited about sharing the message of Jesus. And in that video, you could even hear the trembling in the voices of individuals as they were excited about the reality of the body of Christ abroad being able to conquer such a lofty task based on we walk together and we're united together and we're able to press forward the mission, the gospel message, as we were instructed, and to find ourselves as an active participant in something that Jesus made possible. That's exciting. It ought to be very exciting to us. This week, during the week, we were traveling along on Route 6, and we stopped at McDonald's because I like McDonald's iced teas. And I seen a car that was familiar in the parking lot. And I looked a little closer as we were driving by, and sure enough, it was Miss Ruby's car. Miss Ruby was in the McDonald's. She was coming out. She had just pulled in to use the restroom. And we came by, and we had this conversation with her. And it was amazing. Because you know what? In all the things that we wrap ourselves up in, it's always exciting to see somebody that's a child of God who loves Jesus with her whole life in the excitement that comes out of her mouth when she starts to speak. Amen? Are you with me? And all the things that maybe would burden you down or the things we were talking about, those went off the table, and what came on the table was the unity that we had, this family reunion that happened in a parking lot with somebody that's a sold-out follower of Jesus. We were so excited to pull out of there. We got to talk about things that God was doing here. We got to talk about things that God was doing on Friar Street. We got to see the excitement in her face as she shared in what was happening because she was one of the founding members, her and her husband. And they now, you know, as Dub is already with Jesus, and we have Ruby still smiling, still excited about the things that God is doing, cheering us on. I thought about that. I thought about it through the course of the week because you understand, this time of the year represents some hopeless time for people too. There's people out there that look through a lens that they don't realize the hope that's available to them. They don't get it. They're hurting at levels that maybe we don't comprehend. And there's things that are going on in their life that sometimes they may aggravate us. Some of the things that they do are very dishonoring to God because they're lost. And I want to tell you the truth. There's hope. There's hope for this world. We're out there in the midst of things that sometimes gets us disillusioned. And we don't realize the magnitude of the message of the cross that's been entrusted to us to share with this world. Amen? Are you guys with me? There's a passage of Scripture that's used all the time. Everybody knows it. If you've been in the church at all, and it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who should ever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that one well, don't we? We know it well, and we see it on t-shirts, bumper stickers, we see it all over the place, we quote it. I want to go on with the same passage of Scripture and follow it a little longer. Verse 17 says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their evil deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Light and darkness. Children of God in a lost world that desperately needs to meet the Jesus that can change everything. A season of the year that we celebrate, we get lost in things that we have no business investing our time in the first place. In the message of the cross, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, folks, that's a done deal. It's already happened. Jesus died on the cross. He was victorious when he came out on the third day out of the tomb, and he paid the penalty of whosoever would call upon his name. It's a done deal. We're the church. We are the salt and the light. We are the ones that can give hope to lost people in the midst of the craziness of the season. And in the midst of everything that goes on, somewhere inside of us, we have to understand that the very theme of this God so loved the world is that he didn't send Jesus to condemn this world, but to save them through the redemptive blood of Christ. And as a result of that, then we should illuminate that not condemning, but loving in such a way that we become alluring to this world. Are you with me? That's hard to do, folks, sometimes, isn't it? Because some people aren't very lovable. Some people, they're very difficult to care for. Quite frankly, some people we just try to avoid completely. But you see, Jesus didn't do things like that. Jesus responded in a different way, much different way. Jesus loved in action. Jesus had all that we could ever imagine in heaven, and he was comfortable as can be. And when I think of our Christianity today, so many times we use the comfort that comes from the realization that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. We're going to be ushered into this place that's amazing. And that the penalty of sin is no longer ours. Jesus paid for it. And we settle in like we're in a reclining chair comfortably. But just a short distance away from us is somebody who's broken. Somebody that doesn't understand. They don't get it. They don't get it at all. And they don't get it from us because we don't proclaim the message of the cross very well because we don't reflect on it. I've been convicted deep in my devotion time. We get these devotional books and they have a paragraph of information with a little scripture that may or may not correlate with what's in that devotional. And we expect that somehow we'll fine-tune our senses to be able to pick up on the mind of Christ and push forward his message as if we're Siamese twins. But the reality of it is, the Bible tells us that our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. We're very different. In Philippians, in the second chapter, starting in verse 5, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage or to grasp. Because Jesus was on a mission. Jesus told himself the truth. Jesus kept his eyes focused on there was a prize, and that prize was us, the church. It was anybody that would call upon his name. And in order to accomplish his purpose, he must suffer at the hands of people that are completely unworthy, without any understanding of who Christ was. These individuals cursed him and crucified him, and he loved them. He still does love them. He still loves today, and he wants to communicate that love through his church. Amen? Are you guys with me? I'll be straight with you. Most people aren't with me a lot of the time. They think I'm crazy, and I think I am too. I'm crazy about Jesus. But I understand that there's a mission that he called us to accomplish, and it doesn't look like the things of this world. It doesn't look like just casually coming to church, casually going through a Bible study or having a devotion time and going on with our own lives as if there was nothing else other than we're redeemed and, you know, the rest of the world, whatever. And I don't mean to sound sarcastic, but listen, I'm going to be honest with you. We adopt that attitude. But here's the problem. We never take the time to really let that soak in. Are you hearing me? We never take the time to really see if who we are is in alignment with a relationship with Christ that drives us, that drives our every action, our decisions, that puts such a burden on our heart for someone else that we're driven to our knees to pray for them. With a love that says, rescue them, Father. It's hard. You know what? The craziest thing, every morning I get up, that crazy old man tries to resurrect itself. Selfish, inconsiderate, very much worldly in nature. And as a result of that, I praise God that his love is so amazing. That his love is so amazing that it encompasses all of that. And he says, come follow me. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I'll give you abundant life. I'm going to show you a different world in a different way. And as a result, there's going to be others that are going to be affected largely. John in the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 36, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Then they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the son sets you free, you're free indeed. The truth will set you free, and if the son sets you free, you're free indeed. The truth will set you free. The word, God breathed, instruction, relationship, partnership, harmony, invitation. Jesus, the one who went to the cross for us, he set us free from the alluring sin of this world. He set before us a mission, and we have the ability to be victorious in this mission. But I'm going to tell you straight up, it's a relationship that gives you the victory. You cannot walk and put him in a closet and take him out periodically and think you're going to be victorious of all those things, because by our nature, we are alienated from God. We find ourselves in struggles every day, but the closer you walk with Christ, listen, and I'm not talking with a nose in the air, I'm walking with Jesus, so therefore I don't like these people. No, I'm talking about walking with Jesus where we can be spat upon and we'll pray for that person anyway. That we would have such a burden that we would embody the mission of the cross in our lives. It's Christmas time, and there's people out here who are hurting. Maybe there's someone in here hurting today. Maybe there's a message that you need to receive. That the message of the cross isn't condemnation. It's redemption. It's freedom in Christ. It's being set free to live a life different than we ever knew. But it isn't going about things the way we've always gone about them. It's about walking with the Master and as a result, living a brand new life. Amen? Are you guys with me? You got to make some noise. Drop something on the floor or something. Listen, I'm used to making some noise, Pastor Clark. I'm used to making noise because I always get revved up by the same message that I'm preaching. I get revved up because I realize I was a wreck. I thought I knew all the answers. I knew nothing. And everything that I valued, I looked up to mentors right in the Word, like the Apostle Paul, that would say, count it all rubbish for the sake of Jesus. 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, verse 14. Talking about being able to be empowered, unshackled, and walking free. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness have to do with wickedness? And what do they have in common? What fellowship can light and darkness have? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be your father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. When I think of that, you know, there's this crazy thing that goes on with church folks. They hear a passage like that, and they think we're supposed to build a big brick wall between us and the world to stay the heck away from them and don't touch any unclean thing. No, listen, there's a difference between being in the world and of the world. There's a difference in reaching out and sharing Jesus with somebody and sitting at the table of idols. There's a difference, because you understand the very essence of the gospel message. We relationally with Jesus, if we read this passage, you know what happens to us? We realize what he's telling us is, listen, don't become entangled with things that have no business being entangled with you. You need to be the light that illuminates darkness, and it's not by judgment, it's by relationship. You need to have something that so moves people that they are compelled to move in the same direction, that they're not hindered by our testimony of our mouth, they're enlightened. Are you with me? Are you guys with me? Stomp your feet or something. Do this. Do that. James, in the first chapter, verse 22, everybody, you've been around at all, you know this one. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. You know what? It's so difficult because the church in America today struggles with legalism, because people think that you can put together a list of rules and then you live by those rules and then you're fine. And there's nothing wrong with rules. There's nothing wrong with being aware of the things that are pleasing or displeasing to God. There's a big problem with thinking that you have a recipe to live this without the relationship. Because it's the relationship that motivates us. It's the relationship that tells us that the things are not suggestions that the Bible communicates to us about our character. They're the very essence of the body of Christ living out healthy, effective, to accomplish God's purpose. We got to get lost in the relationship with Christ. Are you guys hearing me? Above all things. You know, it's amazing. We have a ministry called Next Step, and we deal with people that have issues in their life. We all have issues, don't we? Amen, Pastor Clark? We all got issues. But we deal with people with issues. And a lot of the times when individuals start to speak, especially early on when they come and live in the men's house, when they start to try to communicate to us, and they try to justify their action and season it with a little God. You hear me? And some of them are good at it. Some of them, man, they'd sell that package to almost any church they'd walk into, but not this one. Because you understand, the root of our actions, the things that drive us, the motivating factor is identified very quickly. And if it's not a relationship with Jesus, nothing hidden will remain hidden. And the issues of their life, they resurface and they're just like an abscess. It continually infects. So we press forward in this relationship with Christ and we start to really allow Him to have this place in our heart. And I, you know, listen, guys, I love being here this morning and having Pastor Clark, one of my mentors, sitting right there. He's taught me some amazing things. Things that you would never, ever get a hold of unless somebody spilled their life into you. Things like little golden nuggets in Scripture. And the places that you find them is when you're digesting this Word and you're giving God the freedom to work in and through your life, one of those golden nuggets comes up and pushes you forward in a time that you need to be pushed forward. So when I think of this and I think about the body of Christ, folks, I'll be honest with you. I make people very uncomfortable because I want to just huddle you guys all up together and give you a big hug. It's a big family reunion. To say, listen, we need to bond together to accomplish the purposes of God. We need to show the love of Jesus with our lives. We need to be able to have the freedom to understand when we fail that we're going to be loved by the body. We're going to spur each other on. And so many times we fall into the trap that comes right from the devil. It comes right from the devil. He tries to deceive us. He tries to put us at a place that we think of ourselves holier than thou, and we end up at a place that we can't be effective in what God's called us to, and moreover, we're not happy. We're not happy. We got a judgmental attitude and we walk around frustrated. Why isn't everybody else just like me? What's the matter with them? Romans 8:35 and following. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are to be considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither this present nor the future or any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Not each other. Not Not individuals in the body of Christ. Not anything that's our little soapbox that we want to climb up on. Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. So why don't we proclaim that with our lives? Why don't we invite others to receive that love in a way that they can feel in the midst of whatever struggle? We don't have to agree with what road they travel with to get into the struggle they're in. We need to offer an answer the way out, and that's through the love of Jesus. Are you with me? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. You know, it's amazing. When you get lost in a love relationship with Jesus, you allow things to happen in your life that you don't do otherwise. And if our schedules are all busy and we don't have any time to listen to God, we miss out on where God's at work. And it's crazy. I like to put together a message and then leave it unframed. Just put the framework together a little bit and don't nail it tight right until I'm coming in. You know why? Because I feel like God gives you a word that's applicable, possibly even at the last moment. One of the last moments was last night. I was in bed already. And I had a text come in with a story that was, it was nice because I shared it with my wife because it's much like a story that we've shared together, an experience where the Lord used us in a powerful way and we had no idea what was happening until it was all over us. It's the story of these young guys that were at Wednesday night Bible study, and in the Bible study they were talking about, does God speak to us and how He does? And one of the individuals that were there, a young man, he'd been reared in the church. The gospel message was part of his life as he perceived, and he was doing a good job of being a good Christian young man. However, he had this desire to hear from God. This tickled his ears. And not realizing that the very tickle of his ears actually is God doing something in your life to take you to another level so you can really, really get involved in this relationship? I'm adding to it a little bit because I understand the context in which this was said. This guy leaves his friends, gets in the car, and he's driving, and he starts having a prayer time with God. God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. You speak to me, and I'll do my very best to be obedient to what you tell me. That's what he prays. Next thing you know, he's got this overwhelming urge to buy a gallon of milk at a convenience store, and he thinks it's the stupidest thing ever. Thinks it's ridiculous. So he passes the first one up, overwhelmed again, pulls in the next one, goes in and gets the gallon. He says, okay, God, if that was you, then I guess that was easy enough to be obedient to, and I can always use a gallon of milk. Proceeds on. Goes a bit further and ends up coming up to an intersection on 7th Street. And on 7th Street, he just senses that he's supposed to turn left. Well, he's in the wrestling match again. He says, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not turning left. The only thing down there is factories and a few homes in a not-too-good neighborhood. So he proceeds by, gets to the next intersection. He's overwhelmed. He turns the car around. Goes back to 7th Street. So he's on 7th Street, he's against the curb line, and he's rolling with the car, and he's having this talk with God. This is the stupidest thing ever. I'm going to get in trouble with the police. I'm in a partially commercial zone. These houses are dark. And he said he sensed that the Lord told him to stop the car. So he stopped the car. Then he said he was overwhelmed to take that gallon of milk and walk across the street to someone's house and knock on the door. Now he's in a dilemma. Because now he's in a crisis. Because he has to either disqualify that and ignore the fact that he asked God to speak to him, and in the next moments of his life, he finds these goofy things going on that he's having a conversation in his head about. So he says, okay, God, if this is you, I'm going to get out, I'm going to go to the door with that gallon of milk, and I'm going to knock on the door, and if they don't answer that door immediately, I'm out of here. So there he goes. Goes to the door, he bangs on the door. He's ready to leave, and he hears somebody from the other side saying, "Who is it? What do you want?" And then the door opens, and there's a guy standing there with jeans on and a t-shirt where it looks like he crawled out of bed, threw some jeans on, and came to the door. And he's got a gallon of milk, and the man reaches out the door, takes the milk, runs it down the hallway. The man's wife comes out with a baby to the door and said, "We were laying in bed and we were praying because we didn't have any milk to feed our baby. So this guy says," he reaches in his pocket and said, "This is yours. What I've got left, that's yours." Folks, if we want to get to a place where we can have an encounter like that, we got to slow it down. Not dragging our feet, folks. Slow down our mess and adopt his purpose. Because you know what? God really does answer prayers today. He really does come to the aid of somebody who's hurting today. And he calls upon his church to facilitate those answers. Are you with me? Did you hear me? You say, "Well, that's just some story. Somebody could have made that up, Pastor." No, listen. Myself and my wife had a situation just like it. And when we, and I'm not going to go through details, it's lengthy, but I'm going to tell you this. When we ended up at the front yard of this lady and brought her the food we brought her, she wept and said, "I was praying today and asking God if he had forgotten me." It's possible, folks. We can embrace this Jesus. We can get so involved in a relationship with him that he motivates us to move in a way that we hear the still, quiet voice of his Holy Spirit, and we can have our lives directed in such a way. We can be victorious on his mission, but also we can be fulfilled like we've never been fulfilled before. There is nothing that'll boost your faith better than obedience. Because you understand, it's a matter of him directing our steps. You can't be on this road and on this road at the same time. You can't expect to have an intimate relationship where you accomplish the purposes of God if you're running your own program. You can't do the things God's called you to and get lost or wrapped up in things of this world and then season them with a little God. That story moved me last night, and I was compelled to share it with you because you know what the real issue is God has put some people in place to help on this journey, and they're your pastors. And there's a place that we come to worship, and it's called Families of Faith. And God has a plan that he wants to invade the lives of this lost world with his church, and he wants to push it forward. He's given us a vision, and we're experiencing two phases of it. But he wants to push it through. And as a result, he wants this blanket effect in our community. We got to pour ourselves out in the relationship and leave the rest up to him. Amen? We get lost in the relationship, and as a result, we accomplish his purpose. We get looser with our giving. We start talking about our leaders like we love them instead of we're on a judging panel to see whether if we're going to retain their contract next year. And we start realizing that God is doing an amazing thing, and he's assembled an amazing group of people that are called the body of Christ, and you're part of it. And as a result of that, we get excited when we think of the possibilities. But we don't think the way that we're supposed to. It's a conscious effort. I ask you, ever read a passage of Scripture and you just feel like the Lord whacked you in the head with it and he really wants you to do something different, you know? That happens to me every day, Pastor. I get knocked around like a ping pong ball because I'm constantly trying to run ahead of what God's doing because, you know, with great intentions. Let me just tell you something this morning. Good intentions don't get it done. They don't. God's instruction gets it done. Amen? That's the reality. But in the 12th chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 12, I'm reading and thinking about a desire to walk with Christ closely. And so many people you hear, they'll say, I just want to hear from God. I just want to hear from God. And He certainly will speak to us. He certainly will direct our steps. But He also speaks to us through His Word. He gives us instruction. And if we'll just take heed to what He says, we'll start looking like the body of Christ. Amen? Like James said, don't just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer. Don't just be a hearer and so deceive yourself. Be a doer. So Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Listen to this. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Listen to this. For as by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. If I stopped right there, listen, I've been spanked with that so many times, I can't believe I can sit down. Because we start judging the body of Christ instead of loving them. And He tells us, look at ourselves with sober judgment. There's none of us that are worthy of the gift of salvation. None of us. We can't earn it. And there's not one of us that walks free from sin every single day. We keep fumbling ourselves into it and messing ourselves up. And we find ourselves at the place that if we confess our sin, that He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get that. But that's a reality in our lives. And we can't think of ourselves higher than we ought. Otherwise, we're going to be standing in the way of accomplishing God's purpose because we're going to have an attitude that's not becoming. For just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, although we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. All these things? Are you kidding me? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing so, you will heap coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow, that's a whole bunch, isn't it? But you know what you have there? That's like being brought to attention. It's on my grandpa, when I was a kid, he used to wedge his pointer finger right in the center of my back, and my posture straightened up. Because every time my attitude goes south, I just need to take a look right there. I need to be very aware that God's called us to look like Jesus, who being God came here to die for us. And if we're really serious about telling ourselves the truth of who we are and realizing that we can't walk this thing on autopilot, that we have to be governed every day, and God's word is the thing that'll get it done. Walking with him and praying and saying, "Oh, Father, help me. I've got such a bad attitude here. Would you help me to have a burden in this area instead of an attitude? Would you help me to be who you've called me to be so that maybe at this time of year, somebody that's hurting is going to receive what you intend for them to receive? Would you use me in a way that's so amazing that when I leave, I know that the creator of this universe spoke from heaven and directed my steps?" I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know how you came in here, if you're one of the ones that are hurting, or if you know Jesus. Or if you do and you find yourself at a place that you feel like you've been here for a long time, you've walked this Christian walk, now it's just time to shift her into autopilot and wait for the Lord to return. And I'm telling you, malarkey, he wants you to be involved in the love of Jesus in this body right now. Are you guys with me? Guys, could you come up and play something? I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And I would be honest with you, this course of this week has beat the tar out of me. And even last week, I was at a wedding, and during the wedding, somebody had got information about a coworker that had committed suicide. And my heart ached. Church, it's us that show the love of Jesus. It's us. And if not for us, they don't see him. They don't need to see the judge because that isn't us, that's God himself. But we're ministers of reconciliation. God reconciled us to him through Jesus, and now we're ministers of reconciliation here and now. Are you with me? Can we agree together that we want to be used of God in a mighty way? That he might call us to do something so crazy that we'd buy a gallon of milk and end up in a weird place giving it to a stranger.